The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider owning a Cruise Planners American Express travel franchise. A low-cost, turnkey opportunity. Cruise Planners provides everything you need to grow your business right from the start. No experience is necessary. Visit cruiseplannersfranchise.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check out the video portion of this show at cruiseradio.net.
On this show, senior cruise editor for cruisecritic.com, Dan Askin, will join us again to talk about Titanic 2. How legit is this? But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guys here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Nassau Bahamas turns away Norwegian Epic one day last month because of a scheduling error. Is this true? And does this happen often?
Well, I'll tell you guys, this was, quote, epic fail. Ah. I mean, you have essentially the third largest cruise ship in the world scheduled to come into port, and you've taken in too many ships and you're not ready. It does happen. I mean, the head port guy was not in. He was vacationing somewhere else. And, this is kind of a Universal Studios. We're experiencing technical difficulties. It's unfortunate, but can you imagine turning away a 4,100 passenger ship?
Oh man!
God, if I owned a business there, I'd be pissed.
Well, and I could tell you a lot of the businesses there were. I could tell you that reports from Atlantis alone was that they had $100,000 worth of tours booked to the resort on its own.
Oh my gosh!
So it was a huge loss of business, and hopefully someone. Someone's underwear is hanging from the flagpole at the port there, and hopefully it won't ever happen again.
We can only hope. Carnival Dream released new itineraries from Port Canaveral. What are they?
Well, in addition to the seven-night Eastern and Western Caribbean, what they're going to be doing is offering, they're going to be kind of changing up the itineraries. They're going to offer some six- and eight-night sailings that will certainly generate a lot of passengers. And this will also be, Doug, the very first time that any cruise ship has actually done a Southern Caribbean from Port Canaveral.
Oh, cool.
So it's really a nice, option. So they're still going to have the seven-night cruises. They're also now going to have six nights, for a little shorter. But then you've got the eight-night, which will get, passengers down to Aruba and Curacao, which is, until like last year was really only happening out of Florida on the seven or eight night sailings or longer sailings, because traditionally on a 7-night sailings you have to go to San Juan to catch them.
Yeah.
So this will be the first time that from Port Canaveral that they'll be able to offer Southern Caribbean in addition to Eastern and Western Caribbean. So that's a great move.
So you're just basically adding a couple of new sailings, but keeping the Eastern and Western sevens as well.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
It'll be a nice mix up to really kind of make it. Add a little spice to the dish is what they're doing.
There you go.
Great move.
And speaking of Carnival, they got the bill from the Port of Mobile for the Triumph docking. How much was that?
Well, they got a bill exactly costing $74,885.02.
Oh, wow. Is that a lot?
Well, it sounds like a lot. But, for their services, essentially for the, 24-hour period before, they moved the ship to a repair yard, that's what it cost. And, you take into consideration, they had police boats and all kinds of other services and overtime. But, the one thing that, if you came away from watching the newscast after the ship arrived, it seemed like an anomaly because the people of Mobile actually came out in droves with people, offering to take in these passengers into their homes, which was just, hello, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah,
or it's almost like, what planet are we on? They couldn't have been any nicer. So, it was very nice. It probably seems like a realistic bill considering all the expenses, the portage fees, and the overtime for law enforcement, the longshoremen, and everyone. So, I'm sure there's going to be more to it, but it doesn't seem unreasonable.
Is there any cruise line interest in Mobile?
Well, at this time, contrary to their statements, right now, it doesn't seem realistic that Mobile is going to get another cruise ship anytime soon.
Royal Caribbean announced some new itineraries for 2014. Anything stick out?
Well, they announced that they're going to be continuing to do their Baltic cruises, which is pretty exciting considering what they've got going out there, and also they got the Canada New England sales that they're going to be offering. So I mean they'll have Independence of the Seas, which is going to be doing some 8-night Fjordland sailings of Norway. They'll also have some sailings on Adventure of the Seas. It's a nice mix up. Southampton will be the home port for all of it, and then they'll have the 12 and 13 night Scandinavia Russia cruises, which are incredibly popular year after year, which include those overnight calls in St. Petersburg.
Fire aboard Norwegian Getaway. What happened, and will it impact delivery?
Well, the good news is that the impact will not affect delivery of the ship. Apparently, it was quite a blaze I think it was deck 15, where, I mean, right now they're estimating that the cost was up to $650,000.
Wow.
So, it wasn't a little fire. It was a pretty good one, but they were able to get it under, under control. And, there's some interesting pictures of we saw a breakaway, which left the yard last week. But there's actually some pictures of, before breakaway was leaving, that it was still in the building, but Getaway was right behind it. And she's pretty far along. So it was some pretty impressive shots. And I think that if the Cruise Radio listeners go to, it's cruiseradio.net.
Sure, that'll work.
That we'll have some of the pictures of Getaway and Breakaway together.
Very cool. So Holland America is increasing their presence for Asia in 2013 and 14. Is Asia a hot spot these days? It sure seems like it.
Well, more ships are being introduced into the market. There is growing demand. A lot of people are. There's a lot more interest in sailing to these different destinations out there, Doug. And Holland America is going to have Volendam and Rotterdam in Asia for the 2013 and 2014 sailings. And some of them are going to call at Myanmar. So, if you want to visit the former Burma, you'll have some opportunities to sail on two Holland America ships. But it is becoming popular. And, unfortunately, Mobile, Myanmar, I guess they're putting more ships out in Southeast Asia.
Right on. How bookings been for wave season?
The good news is that bookings have actually been very good, all things considered. And, contrary to, certain statements, being made, it's very strong. People are not at all, people that were going to go on a cruise are still going on a cruise. And bookings for the Caribbean, Europe is right where, it was expected. The economy in Europe is still affecting, future bookings. But that was pre-planned, had nothing to do with Triumph. And, people are consistently very confident in the cruise experience. The last 10 years, over 150 million people worldwide have gone on a cruise. And it's not something that, people understand that this was an aberration, not representative of the industry, and feel very comfortable. And, the booking trends are very strong, thankfully.
We're being gracias, Stuart.
All right, guys, we'll talk later.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net. This is Cruise Radio.
Everybody has a story, and cruise planners, American Express Travel, loves to hear them. Beth Edwards was a busy mom who found a way to combine her love of travel with more family time.
I was really looking for a business that would allow me to continue traveling because I love to travel, and then also allow me some time to stay home with my children, with my family a little bit more. And my husband and I did some research and chose Cruise Planners because we just couldn't stop hearing enough good things about it, and really trusted the American Express brand, and really having a great time so far. Looking forward to learning and seeing more.
So, what's your story? Discover the fun, flexible, home-based franchise that's been voted number one in travel by Entrepreneur Magazine for 10 years in a row. Visit cruiseplannersfranchise.com or call 888-582-2150. For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us.
Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. TripInsurance.com.
Stream us worldwide on our free iPhone app. Just search Cruise Radio Live in your app store.
Dan Askin with Cruise Critic. Hello, Dan. Welcome back to Cruise Radio, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
I enjoy your writing. Very, very funny. Want to talk about Titanic 2, of course. You wrote a nice article about it. Who is this billionaire, by the way, who wants to build Titanic 2?
The guy's name is Clive Palmer, and actually the Forbes report of billionaires just came out, and he was not on the list. So I think he's in the hundreds of millions, although he might debate that statistic. And we said billionaire, and a lot of people were reporting that, so I need to clear that up, obviously. But he's a businessman. He's made some big investments in natural resources, nickel, coal. He's into other projects as well. He's got some resorts in Australia. He owned a soccer team. And now, possibly, he's moving into cruise travel.
Does he have a history of starting things that he can't finish?
Yeah, we've seen some, you know, in doing research about the guy, because we didn't know that much about him, obviously, because it's his first foray into cruise travel. He's been linked with some big ideas, like trying to resurrect a dinosaur and have placed at one of his resorts, which, I think, personally, not speaking on behalf of Cruise Critic, but that's a fascinating idea.
Yeah.
And then he's a conspiracy theory kind of guy. He's been linked to saying that there's a connection between Greenpeace and the CIA. Those two are in cahoots.
All right.
Trying to foil some of his business.
Interesting.
Opportunities. So he's not immune to, you know, casting out the big idea. He enjoys that, and this is obviously
another
in
one.
That realm. Yep.
So, Dan, this has been in the making for a while, but we're just starting to see how real this could become, right?
Yeah, so he announced plans to build Titanic 2 in April, a few weeks after the 100th anniversary of the first one and its first and last voyage. And so, the drip campaign's been going on, but now he's doing this sort of global tour where he's stopping at different spots. He was just in New York. And then he was in London afterwards. He was in Asia before that, sort of showing off some of the renderings. He's got now a shipyard, which he had since June. It's a Chinese yard in place. He has Delta Marine, which is actually a very famous and well-regarded naval architecture and design firm. And they had a hand in Oasis of the Seas, Allure of the Seas, Disney's Fantasy-class ships, Solstice class ships in different capacities. So he's got that's a very legit person in place. He also has two Titanic experts who have written books. One guy's going to do the interiors, make sure that the interiors are up to scale in terms of replicating the original. So he's got the pieces in place to make it look like he's giving it every effort, and he really wants this to happen.
In your article, you cite the vintage gymnasium, reminiscent of a medieval torture chamber. Give us some of the other details of Titanic 2 in terms of size, passenger count, and actually emulating the original Titanic.
Sure. So, a lot of the public spaces in terms of that medieval torture chamber gymnasium has one of those ancient-looking rowing machines, rowing machines and some other contraptions with levees and guys wearing swimming costumes, kind of
tire.
Does it have that machine that with that wide belt that you wrap around your backside and it vibrates back and forth?
I think that's probably a Victorian era invention. Yeah. So I imagine you might have something like that. Yeah. But I mean, the other spaces are going to be, for the most part, he's trying to replicate what was on the original in terms of the three classes of cabins, the different classes of dining rooms or mess hall if you're in the third class, the indoor pool that Titanic had, some other public spaces in terms of cafes and lounges and that sort of thing. But the ship is roughly the same size right now, at least preliminary estimates say it's about 55,000 gross tons. Maximum occupancy, 2,400 plus passengers, very similar to the original. But in sort of comparing that to a modern cruise ship, that's unbelievably cramped, which is one of the red flags. That's significantly more cramped, less space per passenger ratio than even Carnival's newest ships, which are the kind of the tightest. There are some distinctions, though, obviously, from the original. You can't have a coal-powered steam engine, so you're going to have diesel replacing that. You can't have as much wood as the original Titanic had, obviously, because of fire safety regulations.
Right.
So there's going to be less of that. There are going to be more lifeboats, he said. They're not going to be wooden lifeboats. They're going to be modern life-saving craft. More than enough for everybody on board, which, you know, international maritime rules dictate that you have to do that anyway. And there are going to be a few modern touches that he's adding in there. The Titanic didn't have some modern entertainment and a casino. But he wants to replicate the ship physically and then also the experience.
Right.
So every cabin is going to have, according to Clive Palmer, 1912 replica clothing that passengers can wear if they want to really get into the sort of the historical recreation vibe.
Wow, that's something else. Obviously, you have to submit your sizes when you book, I assume.
So that's a great question. We didn't ask him that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, instead of bathrobes, it's going to be, you know, petticoat and whatever, if you're in first class, whatever you'd wear, monocle.
Right. Look like the Monopoly guy. That'd be delightful.
Certainly. Yeah.
You mentioned red flags, and I love the line in your article. Red flags are flapping like the mouth of a first-class socialite after too many Manhattans. In your article, you also mentioned, you asked the question, is this an elaborate hoax? What made you ask that?
I mean, that was, for me personally, just an intuitive reaction to this after noticing all the red flags, which were, it's a memorandum of understanding, which means there's no contract yet, with a Chinese shipyard that's never built a cruise ship or anything close to as complicated as a cruise ship. I mean, they specialize in bulk carriers, this yard, CSC Jinling, pardon the pronunciation, but they've never built anything close to that. So why sort of go that route and not one of the shipbuilding powerhouses in Europe or even in Asia, which there are other shipbuilding powerhouses?
Right.
So that's big. I mean, the space ratio thing was sort of eye-popping to me. If you're going to replicate the Titanic, modern cruise ships, even, like I said, a mainstream megaship like the newest Carnival ships, they're giving a lot more space per passenger. This is going to be really tight. And things I didn't mention in the article, that these are more rumors. They haven't been kind of confirmed by Clive Palmer or the people representing him, but the original third-class passengers, they had to share bathrooms. I don't know if most modern cruisers are going to get into that type of thing. You know, there's certainly a contingent of people that want this sort of historical sort of travel, but I don't know if it's going to be a big enough group to really fill up this ship that can carry over 2,000 people, like I said, day in, day out, cruise in, cruise out. And then obviously back to the original, you know, Mr. Palmer has had some really big ideas in the past that were huge ideas but didn't really come to fruition. So have to see how this one kind of pans out.
Yeah, Clive Palmer, the billionaire behind this, said this will be the safest cruise ship in the world. What would give it that title?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough question to answer. It's pretty unclear at this point, beyond sort of complying with all international safety laws in terms of evacuation and how the ship responds to collision, and, you know, the most up-to-date and advanced fire suppression techniques. And that's all kind of speculation in terms of if you were going to make that claim that you had the safest cruise ship in the world. We haven't really heard much in the way of specifics. We did hear a little piece about evacuation slides, which would deal with that sort of rapid evac kind of approach. But we have a lot of questions. And with each announcement, I think more questions.
So do you think there'll be enough fans of Titanic to keep Titanic 2 going?
For me, it's doubtful. We've asked our readers on Cruise Critic's Facebook page if they were willing to, or if they're even interested in cruising on the ship, and the vast majority said no. A few people were saying yes, no, you could be part of history if it actually happens, and then a tiny contingent were saying yes, but it looks like it's going to be too expensive. So I mean, that's the thing. If it's going to be offering these traditional transatlantics as well as longer cruises, you're going to have to continually fill up this ship to keep it going with people that want this recreation historical experience. And it's going to be a traditional cruise experience in the sense of from 100 years ago, possibly. But it's not going to really cater to the huge number of modern cruisers there are out there. So I think that's sort of the biggest red flag of them all, is there an audience for this.
Right. When's the maiden voyage going to happen?
It's going to be, he says, late 2016.
Okay.
3 years to build the ship, which is actually significantly longer than it usually takes.
Would you sail on it?
Yeah, as a cruise writer, absolutely. I mean, this thing would be unlike anything else in the industry, and it would be fascinating just to cover and find out what type of people are on the ship and what motivates them, and then write about the experience. Yeah, it would be awesome.
You can find the article at cruisecritic.com. Dan Askin, as always, a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, we have an app, which is free for iPhone users, only 99 cents for the Droid users. Simply search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store.
Also, a lot of our video interviews have been posted on our website. Check out cruiseradio.net, and while you're there, subscribe to our daily cruise news updates.
Might I recommend the Destiny bloopers reel?
That's kind of funny, yeah.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Basford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.